All right, we'll say good morning. We are starting on Daf. Today's Daf is Ayin Gimel. And we are actually going to start on Ayin Gimel. We left off yesterday, three lines down from the top, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so on today's Daf, we're actually going to cover, thank you. We're actually going to cover a couple of very interesting, just short questions and answers the Gemara is going to raise. So let's begin with the first one. Three lines out from the top, and Gimel Amadal. So, Boi Rani Bar Chama. Rani Bar Chama asked the following kasha. Cheresh, mahu sheyafer le'ishto? Both say, cheresh, does a man who is deaf, does he have the ability to annul the vows of his wife? Now, what's the shayla over here? So we'll say, if you want to say that a husband has the right to annul vows without hearing them, then I will say, now remember, again, this goes back to the sugi we saw yesterday, where the Mishnah seems to indicate, although it was subject to machlokas, that a husband could potentially go ahead and annul his wife's vows even without him hearing the actual vow. So if you say that a husband could annul his wife's vow without hearing it, I might say that the reason a husband could annul his wife's vows without hearing them is why? Because technically, he does have the ability to hear them. The bar mishmahu means he is capable of hearing them. However, again, The Gemara is suggesting the following. Maybe, when do we say that a husband could annul his wife's vows without hearing the vows? That's when technically he's capable of hearing them, but if he's not capable of hearing the vows, then he cannot annul the vows. Why not? Because this is in conformance with the idea of Rabbi Zera. What did Rabbi Zera say? The Am Rabbi Zera, Kal Harai Labila, Ein Bila Ma'kevaso. So we'll say a little bit of background. The halach is, we know, by Karban Mincha. Karban Mincha has three different ingredients. There is flour, oil, and lavona, frankincense. The halacha is that all of those three ingredients are supposed to be mixed together ultimately to form the karban mincha. Now, what happens if you don't, bless you, what happens if you don't mix, bless you, the ingredients for the karban mincha? What happens in that situation? So Rabbi Zera paskins that as long as you could have mixed it, if you don't mix it, the mixing is not ma'akev. But if you could not have mixed it, then what? Then the mixing is ma'akev, and ultimately the carbon would be invalid. So I'll say, so what would be a situation where you can't mix it? The situation comes up, the Gemara Menachos brings down, let's say you have too much in the bowl, right? Too much in the klisharis bowl. So for if you were to try to mix it, what would happen? Everything would spill over the sides. So that's a case where you can't mix. So Rabbi Zera is of the opinion, and what the Gemara is doing over here is, the Gemara is fine, this is Rabbi Zera is quoting this by Karban Mincha. What the Gemara is suggesting is that this is not just a din by Karban Mincha, but this is a general principle that there are certain things that as long as technically it can be done, even if you don't actually do it, it's still okay. As long as what? As long as it could be done. But if it's impossible for the particular quote-unquote thing to be done, then it could in fact become ma'akev. So Gemara is suggesting on one hand, so let's say now I have a cheresh who went ahead and wants to annul his wife's vows. He obviously can't hear them. So the shayla now is, what do we say? Do we say, we seem to say before that a husband could annul his wife's vows, even if he doesn't hear them. So how do we understand that halacha? Is that only because technically he's capable of hearing them, and therefore since he's capable of hearing them, even if he doesn't hear them, it's okay? Or is it that no? So that's one possibility. Possibility A is, when do we say that a husband, even if he doesn't hear his wife's vow, he could still annul it? That's when he's a bar shmiya. He's capable of hearing it, but it just happens to be, in this case, he does not. Just like in a karban mincha, it has to be able to be mixed, even if it's not actually mixed, as long as that possibility or capability is there, it doesn't compromise the mincha. As long as the husband could potentially hear the neder, even if he doesn't actually hear the neder, ultimately, he could annul it without hearing it. But if he's incapable of hearing it, then perhaps Lamaisi can't annul the nether. So he goes on, O Dilma, Vishama Isha, Loma Akif. I will say, now remember, this whole issue comes up Because the way the Torah phrases the husband's ability to annul his wife's vow is how? That a husband will hear his wife's vow, v'shama isha. Or perhaps the other possibility is, v'shama isha is just an expression. Just an expression, not meant to be taken literally, but that a husband doesn't actually need to hear the wife's vow. Rather, a husband doesn't have to hear the wife's vow, it's just an expression. So these are the two sides of the question. So remember, let's just articulate this again. Question is a cheresh, as a deaf husband, able to annul the vows of his wife? What are the two sides of the question? Two sides of the question is, on one hand, the Torah says, v'shama isha, the husband has to hear. So possibility one is, that's not an explicit directive, that's an expression. Husband doesn't have to literally hear, and therefore, again, even a cheresh could go ahead and annul his wife's vow. Possibility two is that, no, when do we say that a husband doesn't have to hear? That's when he has the potential to hear. But if he doesn't have the potential to hear, then ultimately, again, his non-hearing of the neder will actually prevent him from annulling it. Just like what case? Just like the case of the mincha. Does the mincha actually have to be mixed? I mean, the chatchila, I want to be clear, the chatchila, it definitely should be mixed. Does it have to be mixed? Doesn't have to be mixed, as long as it could be mixed. But if it can't be mixed, then ein achinami, the karban mincha ultimately will be problematic. So perhaps I would say, husband doesn't have to hear as long as he can hear. But if he can't hear, his inability to hear absolutely compromises his ability to annul the neder. So that's the shayla. So Amar Rava, Rava says, okay, the answer is quite explicit. Tashma v'shama isha. Rava says, the Braisa says, v'shama isha, the husband will hear, prat le'ishes cheresh. This comes to exclude the wife of a cheresh, and who the cheresh cannot annul his wife's vow, because simply he cannot hear it. So we'll say shema mina, and indeed this is the halacha, that bottom line, the wife of a cheresh, her husband, because he cannot hear the neder at all, therefore again, he cannot go ahead and annul her nedarim. Next, I will say, again, I want to be clear, you know this already, but I'll say it anyway, like I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't mean that she's forever stuck in the nether. There are other forms of annulment that she could seek out, but it just happens to be that in this case of the Chirish husband, he can't annul her nedarim. Next.
She puts the, in writing, he reads it.
Yeah, no, because what the Gemara is saying over here is that for Shama Isha is explicit, he has to actually be able to hear it. So the Gemara is saying, another kasha. Let's say a man is married to two women and both make nidarim. Can he annul the nidarim of both wives at once? Okay. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Osa dafka, olav dafka. So the Torah, when speaking about his ability to annul the neder of his wife, says osa, that he will annul her nedarim. So osa obviously is singular. So is the Torah literally saying no? The annulment process must be done one wife at a time, or is it possible to go ahead and annulment bundling? Can you go ahead and annul the nedarim of multiple wives all at the same time? So the shayla over here, the Gemara is saying, is how you dash in the pasuk. Osa singular, is that mean literally just one wife at a time? Or lav dafka? We'll say what the Gemara is really asking over here is these words or these phrases, are they meant to be explicit or are they just simply expressions? So look what the Gemara says. Amar Ravina. So Ravina said, Tashma. So we learned, Ein mashkin shte sotos ka'achos. So we'll say, so remember, who's the sota? Sota's woman is suspected of adultery. So very quickly, man suspects his wife of committing adultery. He warns her in front of witnesses not to be alone with a particular man. She violates the warning in front of witnesses. This triggers the process. She's taken to the Beis HaMikdash. She's given the Mayim HaMa'arim. The water is with the dissolved parsha of sota inside of it. She drinks, and then that water checks her if she's innocent or not. So the Gemara says over here, we do not give two sotos to drink at once. I mean, let's say there are two women who are both suspected of being adulteresses. So what happens? We do not go ahead and give them to drink at the same time. Rather, again, they go one after the other. Why not? Why don't we give them to drink at the same time? Mitnei sheliba gas bechaverta. Now, this is actually very interesting. Mitnei sheliba gas bechaverta. If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says on the right-hand column, so Rashi says, "Mipnei shaliba gas bechaverta." So Rashi says, "Horil b'yishli chaverta acheres ma bekach im eshtaani." So if she sees her friend drinking, then what? It's going to encourage her to do the same. So we'll say, so now look at the Rush for just a moment. So last line in the Rush, mipnei shaliba gaspe chaverta, umipnei tseves chaverta lo toda. And because of the will of her friend, she won't admit. Now we'll say, now understand, the whole, look, if she's innocent, then go drink. The concern we have over here, remember we'll say, this you should just know, is like the incredible rachmanis of the Torah. Meaning, what we're concerned about is if she really committed adultery. And so you'll say to yourself, if she committed adultery, let her die. Let her drink the water, let her stomach explode, that's it. What does it matter to us? Because it does matter to us. Because even if she committed adultery, we'd rather her not die. We'd rather her just simply admit the fact that she committed. Remember, we'll say, if a woman is a sota, and she admits the fact that she committed adultery, she's not executed. Right? Because remember, again, there's no witnesses to the act. All there are is witnesses that she violated the husband's warning. So there's circumstantial evidence that something happened, but there's no actual eidos that she committed adultery. Because remember, if there's eidos that a woman committed adultery, then there's a death penalty. There's no sota process. So the case over here is where, again, there's circumstantial evidence. So if she really did commit adultery, we would much rather her just admit it. It's true, there are ramifications for that. She's divorced from her husband without a ksuva. She loses her ksuva, but at least she doesn't lose her life. So the Gemara is saying over here, what we're concerned about here is that if you give multiple women to drink at the same time, so what's going to happen? Let's say one of them is really guilty, and she sees the other women drinking. It's going to give her inappropriate resolve to do the wrong thing and drink the water, which of course has catastrophic circumstances. Therefore, again, we don't give the women to drink in groups. We do it one by one. Remember, we'll see in Masechta Sota, there's a whole process where they try to really impress upon her that really, if you did something wrong, you know, you could rebuild your life, but don't do this. And we can have that greater impact if it's just one-to-one as opposed to there's a group. So that's the first opinion in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo min Hashem Huzeh. Listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with you that we only give one woman to drink at a time, but I don't agree with your reason. You see, the first opinion in the Braisa says the reason is, like we said, because you don't want to give an unguilty woman improper resolve. Rabbi Yehuda says it's very simple. It's a pasuk. Shenemar, v'hishka osa levad, v'hishka osa levado. The Torah says, very simply, v'hishka osa, you will give her singular to drink. And therefore, again, that teaches us, as Rabbi Yehuda, that what? That you only administer the mesota to one woman at a time. Now, why is this important for us? This is important for us because the Torah uses that same lashon of osa by nedarim. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the same way that Osa by Sota refers to Dafka, one woman at a time. So too, again, the Osa by Nedarim also tells us that what? That a husband can only annul the Nedarim of his wife, or I should say of his wives, one wife at a time, and cannot go ahead and annul multiple Nedarim of multiple wives all at the same time. So we'll say, Salach Lamaisa. These are two important halachas. So let me show you something interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Simin Reish Lamed Dalid, says the following. So Simin Reish Lamed Dalid, first in Sif Hey. Excuse me, in Sif Chaf Hey, not Hey, I'm sorry. Bear with me here for a second. So halacha number one. Habal yochol lahafer belo shmiya im hu pikeach. Avalim eno shomea v'hu medaber eno yochol lahafer. Listen to this. So the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch says, going back to the first question we had about the chirish, a deaf person annulling the vows. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a husband or a father have the ability to annul a vow even if they did not hear it directly from the vower herself. However, if the husband or the father are deaf, then ultimately, again, they don't have the ability to annul the nether. So the Ramah Pas says over here, V'yish cholkin, daf pikeach eino yochol lahafer ad shi yishma, umiyu im hifer v'achakach shama havi hafar. So we'll say, we actually saw this from our sugya. The Ramah says that really the halacha is that in fact, again, even a hearing person should not go ahead and annul the nether until ultimately they hear it. That's what we saw yesterday, from yesterday's daf, that really everybody should hear the neder. The difference just is that if somebody does the annulment and goes ahead and what? and only hears the neder later on. Remember the retroactivity clause from yesterday's daf? Technically speaking, that works as well. But bottom line, halacha lemaisa, if husband is deaf, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he cannot annul his wife's nedarim, based on the idea that v'shama isha, when the Torah says the husband hears it, literally means the husband has to have at least the ability to be able to hear the neder. That's the first halacha. Second halacha is in same simon, reish lamed dalet sif chav tes, habal mefer l'shtei nashav ba'achos, v'china'av l'beiz benosav, v'yish chalkas. So we'll say, interesting enough, the Mechaber says over here that a husband does have the ability to annul the vows for two wives at once, so too a father for two daughters, v'yesh cholkin. But there are some, ultimately, again, who are machmir on this, who disagree. I will say that disagreement, of course, is phrased over here in the halacha. In general, by the way, just klali hora, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a halacha and then says yesh cholkin, if he just ends off with yesh cholkin, usually that means that the halacha follows the first opinion stated. So it appears that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a husband could actually go ahead and annul the vows of two wives at once. And apparently the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the osa by nedarim is not meant to be explicit, but rather again is only meant to be an expression. Says the Mishnah Amud Beis. Bogeres. We'll say another interesting case. Bogeres Shesha'asa Yud Beis Chodesh. So we'll say now we're going back a little bit to our Ksuvas days. So if you remember again that we learned that if a man is going to marry a Besula, so she is given 12 months to get ready for the marriage. Once 12 months elapses, if husband did not yet actually do Nisuin, so the halacha is he has to begin to support her. He has to take financial achrayis for her. So the Gemara says over here, Mishnah says, Bogeres Shasa Yud Beis Chodesh. See, if you have a Bogeres. Bogeres is an adult woman who has waited her 12 months. Meaning, again, husband did Erusin with her. Now she waited 12 months and he still has not done Nisuin. Alright? Or Almana Lamidyom. We'll say, on the other hand, remember, a widow is only given 30 days to get ready for a marriage, because the assumption is since she's been married already, she still has some of the necessary things in order to be able to get married. Next, what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hoil Ubaila Chaybim Zonos Seha Yafer. So what's Rabbi Eliezer holds? That since, remember, after 12 months for a Bogeres, or after 30 days for an Almana, if husband did not act, he assumes financial responsibility for her. So therefore, again, Rabbi Eliezer says that with financial responsibility comes his right to annul her nedarim. The Chachamim say, Ein Habal Mefer Achetikanes Rishuso. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, no, a husband never assumes the rights of revocation ultimately until after Nisuin. I will say, now remember, we know that statement's not totally true. Husband does have rights of revocation during Erusin as well, but how? In conjunction with the father. So what the Gemara is saying over here, remember, what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, after 12 months for a Bogeres, and after 30 days for an Almana, if husband did not yet do Nisuin, he assumes full rights for revocation. Chachamim say, no, full rights for revocation are only assumed when? After Nisuin. Look at the Ran for just a moment.
So Bogeres' father has no rights.
Correct. Bogeres' father has no rights. And by the way, that's true marriage or not marriage. Once she turns 12 years old and 6 months, he has no rights of revocation on her. So look at the second Ran. Right-hand column. Ho'ilu ba'ilu chayvim zonoseha. Kidisnan, as we learned, beperek afapi. The nobson lebesula yud beis chodesh. Remember, we give a besula 12 months to be able to get ready for her wedding. And after 12 months, husband becomes responsible for her mizonos, kidisnan. Remember, we had this, that if 12 months elapsed and he did not marry her, he has to financially support her. So Rabbi Elazar says, where there is financial support, also comes exclusive rights for revocation. On the other hand, Chachamim say, no, rights of revocation only come with what? Actual Nisuin itself. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbo. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Eliezer, U'mishna Rishona Amud Davar Echad. So Rabbi said that Rabbi Eliezer and the first iteration of this halacha are saying the same thing. Rabbi will say, what's the halacha Mishnah Rishona? What's the first version of this halacha? Listen to this. This is going to be a good review. This night, we learned, Nostim le Besula Yud Beis Chodesh, Lefarnes Atzma. We give a Besula 12 months to be able to support herself. Now, Lefarnes Atzma means we'll say what. Remember, there was a whole thing about getting the wedding meal together, although really the wedding meal was the responsibility of the man. But she has to get her jewelry together, her kishutim, she has to get her dowry together, she has to get wedding dress, all the different things. We give her 12 months to be able to get herself ready. Higia Yud Beis Chodesh, but let's say 12 months elapse, and the husband did not yet do nisuin. So what's the halacha? Ochlos mishalo. She eats from his food, i.e. she is supported by him. Or va'ochlos b'truma. And also remember, if he is a Kohen, then what's the halacha? If he's a Kohen, then she begins to eat from truma as well. I will say, and remember, we will see, if you remember this sugya from Maseches Ksuvos, technically speaking, even a woman with erusin should be able to go ahead and eat truma, because remember, once she's kinyan kaspo, once she's quote-unquote is acquired in by money, kesef kiddushin, she should be able to go ahead and eat truma. Remember, but we don't. Why? There were two issues. One, we were afraid, shemayim zaglo, of course, what's going to happen, since she's living in her father's home. So she may share that truma with her non-Kohanic family members, which is problematic. That's possibility one. Possibility two, remember again, Simphon. So Simphon was that we were concerned that after they get married, he's going to find some mum, some type of blemish, physical disqualification, and he's going to say, had I known about this, I would have never married you. Mekach tos retroactively undoes the marriage, and it turns out that's what? That again, she was a non-Kohenes eating trum, which is obviously problematic. Aval Yavam, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Aval Yavam, Eru Ma'achil B'Truma. However, Rabbi say, this din, that after 12 months, a woman could go ahead and eat truma, is only a din by a husband. It does not apply to the Yavam. So for example, if her husband died, let's say again from Erusin, If a husband died and she's waiting ultimately again to marry the Yavam, so this idea of after 12 months, if let's say the Yavam's just not doing anything, he's just taking his time, so and 12 months have elapsed, she does not have the right to go ahead and eat truma after 12 months of waiting for the Yavam. Havala Yavam eino ma'achel b'truma. Asisa shishachadashim b'fnei abal. Therefore, again, we'll say the Braisi here gives the extension of this halacha. So, if she was waiting 6 months for her husband to marry her, and then what happens? Husband dies. Now she falls before the Yavam. Bless you. And she goes ahead and now waits another 6 months for the Yavam. Or afilu kulam ifnei abal v'chasiyum echad. Or, for that matter, she waited, 11 months and 29 days with the husband, and then husband died, and is one now additional day with the Yavam. Or she waited the entire almost 12 months minus a day with the Yavam. So bottom line is this idea that after 12 months a woman is entitled to be supported by her husband, and if he's a Kohen entitled to truma, is only a din in a regular marriage, not a din in Yibum. Okay, so now we're going to put Yibum on the side. Our point for us today is what? That after 12 months of Erusin, husband is supposed to do the Nisuin. If he does not do the Nisuin, for whatever the reason, he becomes financially responsible for us. To the point that not only does he have to feed her, but if he's a Kohen, she actually has entitlement to Truma. Fine. Zu Mishnah Rishona. We'll say this was the first iteration of this Halacha. Beis Din Sharach Hareim Amru. But a second Beis Din came along and modified the halacha and said, no, ein ha'isha ocheles b'truma ad she'tikanes l'chuppah. And second Beis Din came along and modified one thing. Meaning, they didn't modify the ikra halacha. The ikra halacha is that after 12 months, what happens? A husband assumes financial responsibility for his wife. The one thing they modified was the truma issue, right? And the second Beis Din said that no, a woman cannot eat truma until ultimately she enters into the chuppah. We'll say, take a look at the Ran for just a moment. It's, you see how the Ran starts? There's wide lines, then short lines, then wide lines again, then the widest lines. The last line of the lines that are of secondary width. Just kidding. Right? And if you know, it's the lines right before the Ran becomes wide, right before the widest lines in the Ran. So the Ran says, "Bezin shacharehim amru ein isha ochelas b'truma achet tikanes l'chuppah." So remember again, that secondary Bezin came along and said that she can't eat truma until she enters into the chuppah. I told you this outside, I will say it, look it inside now. We express the reason for that is, Imishum Simphon, Kilomer Shema Yimatse Bamon Beninsomeko Mekatos. So possibly one is because of Simphon, they were concerned he's going to find some kind of blemish and claim the whole thing was a Mekatos. Imishum Shema Tashke Kos, Shachuma Lacha Lacha O Lachosa. Or the other possibility is what? That she's going to go ahead and share the Truma with her family members. Either way, Bezin Shacharayim said, we don't want her eating truma until Nisuin is actively complete. And I will say, now, for our purposes, why is this important? What the Gemara wants to suggest over here is that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that what? That after 12 months, when husband assumes financial responsibility for her, Rabbi Eliezer is in line with this Mishnah Rishonah, this Halacha. So Eliezer wants to say that just like originally, when he assumed financial responsibility, she was able to eat Truma as well. So what that means is, a quasi-Nisuin has already been affected. If quasi-Nisuin has already been affected, then what? Then husband should also have what? Full rights of revocation. So that's how Rabbi started. Rabbi said that Rabbi Eliezer holds the same thing as the Mishnah Rishonah. Just like Mishnah Rishonah says, after 12 months, husband has full financial responsibility, she could even eat Truma. So Rabbi says, take that to the next logical extension, which is, he also has exclusive rights of revocation. To which the Gemara says, no. I'm only Abaye. Dilma Lohi. Abaye says, I don't know, maybe not. At kan lo ka'ashma inan Mishnah Rishonah, listen to this. Remember, let's take a step back over here. Sabai says, the only thing the Mishnah is telling me is, meaning the Mishnah, not our Mishnah here in Nedarim, but the Mishnah in Ksuvus, is that after, according to the first version of the Halacha in Ksuvus, after 12 months, what's the Halacha? The woman could go ahead and, if her husband is a kohen, she could eat Truma. Now, in reality, is that such a novel ruling? So Abaye says, no, and I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, midda oraisa, when is a woman permitted, when is a married woman permitted to eat truma as of? Midda oraisa? From Erison. Right? From the beginning. Right from the beginning of marriage. I also remember, as soon as she is, quote-unquote, kinyan kaspo, as soon as she has, again, this doesn't sound right, right? But as soon as she is financially acquired by the husband, meaning as soon as there is a financial transaction that takes place, which is kiddushin, by the way, right? Kiddushin is the husband gives the wife an item of value, she accepts an item of value, and transactional marriage is effective. Technically speaking, biblically speaking, she's permitted to eat truma right then and there. We just pointed out, midirabanan, she's not allowed to because of the concerns we expressed. So says the Gemara, so again, what are Chazal saying? After 12 months, if the husband has not yet acted for whatever reason, so listen, there's only so long we could go ahead and make the father keep supporting his wife. There's only so long we want the wife to have to be supported by the father. At some point in time, the husband has to take financial achrayus for his wife. So that's not such a novel ruling. Because again, remember, midirabanan, she could have been eating truma from the beginning. Midrabanan, we're saying we don't want her to because we're nervous about a couple of other things. So the Rabbanan say, after 12 months, our prohibition, our gzera, elapses, and she could revert back to what is truly the biblical state of things. Look at the Ran for just a moment. Amalei Abai v'tilma lohi, ad kan lo kashma inor mishnah rishona el lamecha b'tshuma d'Rabbanan b'shum, d'cheivan d'nedina arusa ocheles b'tshuma. Because remember again, midda oraisa, and arusa is permitted to truma. And the rabbis are the ones who stepped in and said that Narusa can't eat truma. Imishum Simphon, Omishum Shematashka, Kol Shechaibim Zonosel, Leka Lamecha Shlahachi, Vishari Dimishum Simphon Leka, Dimikame, Diavlem Zonos Badiklanai De Krobos. So I'll say, see here, the Ran actually goes through the whole Gemara again. Why aren't we concerned for certain things after 12 months? Because Lamaisa, again, before a husband starts giving his wife truma, first of all, we pointed out if he's giving her truma, remember the Gemara said in Ksuvas, Miyachid Lamakom, he's going to set up a special place for her to eat. And also, again, remember there's also that process. Remember the Gemara spoke about how do you check the woman out prior to Erisin? You know, you send your relatives with her to the bathhouse, right? So they see her, so he's going to see, like, there's no deal breakers over here. So the idea over here, so back to the Gemara for just a moment. So I'm like, Abaye, Dumalohi, Ad kan lo ka'ashma inan mishna rishona ela lamecha b'tshuma d'rabbanan. The Bible says all the Mishnah is saying is that after 12 months, the rabbis release their prohibition and allow her to go ahead and eat truma. Aval nidarim da'araisa emalo. But Rabbi says nidarim, which is a da'araisa. Nidarim, which is da'araisa. So again, if you look at the end of the round, now we were just reading, aval nidarim de mida'araisa, ein arus mefer, im la'achar shenis chaymim zonoseha, ein la'chadula matzi mefer b'lo shut fasi da'av. But Rabbi says, remember again, the inability of an arus to annul nidarim by himself without the partnership of the father is a biblical idea. It's a biblical idea. Meaning, midaraisa, a husband cannot go ahead and annul the nidarim exclusively until after nisuin, right? So we'll say, so how do you know to make that leap that just because now after 12 months he assumes financial responsibility, that suddenly again that means that he has exclusive rights of revocation? So Abai essentially says, Rabba, right, you're wrong, meaning, and really saying Rabbi Eliezer, you're wrong. You're comparing apples and oranges. You're saying that just because now there's financial responsibility, that there should be exclusive rights of revocation over her nidarim. Those are two different things. Meaning financial responsibility, at least legabe truma, she could have been eating truma already from the time she was in Arusa. So now again, the rabbi said she can't. Fine, after 12 months, they rescind their prohibition, allow her to eat truma, but that's a far cry from saying that now after 12 months, he should have exclusive rights of revocation. Aval nidarim dar, I say malo. Furthermore, v'ad kan lo shamus le Rabbi Eliezer elagabe nidarim. First of all, Rabbi said there's another piece to this. Rabbi Eliezer is only expressing his idea by nidarim. Now, why Rabbi said? Now, why is it unique by nidarim? Look at the Ran for just a moment again. Ve'ad kan lo shamus le Rabbi Eliezer elagabe nidarim velo mishum dechashav lakinisua. Rabbi said, now what Rabbi wants to suggest is, you see, we assumed in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer's shita, as remember, Eliezer's shita is that after 12 months, if he does not marry her, if he has not yet done nisuin, he has the exclusive rights of revocation now. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Now we assume that the reason for that is why? Because since he assumes financial responsibility, therefore he now has exclusive revocation responsibility as well. So Abai wants to suggest maybe that's not the reason. Maybe the reason he assumes exclusive revocation responsibility is fine. Look at the Gemara for just one moment. He says, rather, Elo gabi nedar kidurat Pinchas. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer holds that after 12 months, he assumes exclusive revocation responsibility is based on the sheet of Rav Pinchas. What does Rav Pinchas say? The Amar, kol hano, kidrat Pinchas mishmei derava, the Amar kol hano deres, al das baila hino deres. I will say, because what does this mean? Any woman who vows al das baila, with the intent or with the understanding of her husband. Now, what does that mean? Go back to the Ran for just a moment. Va'ad kan lo shamas le Rabbi Eliezer ela gabi nedarim velo mishum dechashav lekinesua. Also, Rabbi Eliezer allows the husband to have exclusive revocation after 12 months. That's not because after 12 months she's considered like a nesua. Ela kidrav Pinchas, rather like Rav Pinchas. What did Rav Pinchas say? Do amar kolan odaras al das baila hino daras. Any woman who vows al das baila with the intention of her husband, hilchok svirli Rabbi Eliezer, dechevan diihu mefarnes la. So Rabbi Eliezer says like this, that since after 12 months he is supporting her, vaday nadra al date. So let's listen to this. This is a different way of thinking. Rabbi Eliezer says, since after 12 months he is supporting her, so she realizes that he's supporting her. Therefore, she herself voluntarily submits her nidarim to his discretion. So we'll say, so that's the chap over here. It's not the pshat that he acquires the right. It's that what? It's that because she is being supported by him, she yields that right to him. Aval betruma, afilu bedirabana lo achla, de'ika lememar denehi nami dehava mefarnis la, ika lemechash mishum simfon, dikas savri bedikas chos lo shma bedika, o l'shem etashkinami ika lemechash la duvcha miyachida. So we'll say, maybe Rabbi Eliezer only holds that after 12 months, she actively, because she's being supported by him, she yields the rights to him. She willingly yields the rights to him. Aval b'truma, but perhaps Rabbi Eliezer says that by truma afilu midiraban nami lo achla, but maybe Rabbi Eliezer's shita would be that what? That after 12 months, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he still would not permit her to eat truma because the concerns that were there 12 months ago of simfon or sharing the food with others still ultimately are still present. So Rabbi say, what comes out over here is the following. Although Rabbah wanted to suggest that Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is synonymous with the Shita in Kiddushin, and that Rabbi Eliezer essentially is saying that since after 12 months, he assumes financial responsibility and she can eat Truma, therefore what? Therefore he assumes exclusive rights of revocation over her Nadarim as well. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that Rabbi Eliezer is saying the same thing as the Mishnah in Maseches Ksuvos, to which Abai demonstrated that that is not necessarily the case. First of all, in the Maseches Ksuvos, remember, Midoraisa, she can eat Truma from the beginning, just Midrabbanan, she can. So all the rabbis are doing after 12 months is lifting a rabbinic prohibition. As opposed to the husband's right to annul the Nadarim is biblical. A husband doesn't have a right to exclusively annul his wife's Nadarim until when? Until after Nisuin. Where do you get this idea that after 12 months of Eris and he can do it? Furthermore, who's to say that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah would actually allow her to eat Truma after 12 months? The reason he allows after 12 months for the husband to have exclusive revocation of the vows is because the wife is vesting him with that power. But Truma, perhaps, even after 12 months, should still be Aser. So we'll say, so that we leave off with the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So after 12 months, Rabbi Eliezer says that husband, Arus husband, so acquires exclusive revocation rights over Nedarim. Chachamim, on the other hand, say no, exclusive revocation rights of husband are only acquired when? Only after Nisuin. So we'll say, so how do we paskin in this situation? So once again, we go back to Simon, Reish Lamed Dalid in Shulchan Aruch. So listen to this. So the halacha is the following. This is expressed actually in two places. So the halacha is Habal Mefer Nidre Ishto Levado Mishatikanis Lechopa. So the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says is husband only acquires exclusive rights of revocation when? After Nisuin. After she enters into the chuppah, ad she tiskarish, and again he has those rights until she's divorced. Similarly, let me skip down a little bit. He says, "Ein habal mefer levado." This is in Sifhei. Afilu imuchay b'mzonoseh. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that even if, let's say, after 12 months of Erusin, the husband did not yet act, she's still in Arusa, not yet in Asua, even though now he's obligated to financially support her, he does not have exclusive rights to go ahead and annul. Below ha'av levado mefer elish neim mefirin b'shutfa. So both say, so aloha lemaisa, we paskin like the Chachamim. Namely, husband only acquires exclusive rights of revocation after entering to the Chuppah, after Nisuin, but during Erusin, even if it's at a point in Erusin, let's say 12 months into Erusin, where a husband has exclusive obligation to support her, nevertheless, annulment of her vows could only take place how? With the joint participation of husband and father. Right?
If she's a Bogeres,
then correct. If she's a Bogeres, then she will have to wait until Nisuin in order to have her husband annul her vows. That is correct. All right, so we'll stop over and pick up with the Mishnah Mirat Hashem tomorrow morning.